Older and wiser with age-friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyisland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282.
On today's Older and Wiser, I'm joined with Paula Matthews. She's from Action on Hearing Loss, and we're talking about our ears, how to protect and look after them, medicines, illnesses, diseases, concerns. Paula, lovely to meet you today.
Thank you.
Let's talk about ears.
Right.
So how do we protect and care for our ears? The world is a pretty noisy place, isn't it?
It is. It is a very noisy place. And what I would suggest you do is, if you're going to go to concerts or be in noisy environments for any real length of time, then to protect them, then I would suggest you use earbuds. You can get all sorts of types of earbuds. You can get them online. You can get them in a local chemist's, and a well-known high street chemist stocks quite a range of them. I'm not saying don't do it. What I'm saying is be mindful of how loud that music or the noise is.
Yeah.
Anything over 85 decibels can be harmful in the long term, as in it can cause long-term hearing damage.
Yeah.
So I would stress that spend short periods of time in those sort of environments and allow your ears to recover by leaving or spending 10 minutes just outside, yeah, or not doing the same again day after day after day, 3 or 4, 5, 6 days in a row,
yeah,
because that's when you could start really developing some problems. And you won't know that often until later in life.
Yes, and my friend's dad, he's got major hearing loss on one side. He was in the Scouts, and they used to do, rifle shooting. And because of that damage from when he was a kid, he's now got real issues. Can you tell us what happens with the damage? It's to do with the hairs in the ear, isn't it?
It is. Inside the inner ear, you have some small bones called the ossicles. I won't go into the terminology around that. But it's you've got the stirrup, the anvil, the hammer. And they make up a lot of the how the sound is conducted through to the brain.
Right.
But equally, you've got in the middle ear as well, you have got what people regard as what looks like a snail shell.
Yes, is that the cochlea?
It's the cochlea. Now, cochlea is where a lot of the processing and all of the sound capture, the noise capture, it happens. All of those little hairs, and there are millions of them.
Yeah.
If you think of the sound spectrum, it's vast, yeah, absolutely vast. And each one of those hairs is responsible for reacting to a single frequency in the sound spectrum. And unfortunately, when you start developing hearing loss, it's those hairs that die off.
Okay, yeah.
So consequently, that's when you start missing bits of perhaps conversation, yeah, or not being able to hear the television properly or on the phone properly, all of those sorts of things. And it's down to those little hair cells that have died off. And once they're gone for good.
So they're very precious.
They are very precious indeed, yes.
Okay, what would you say then to someone who loves to mow their lawn, they're strimming away and they'll do it weekly? Would you say get some ear defenders?
It depends on the decibel range, because I know that there was going to be a limit put on household appliances. I'm not sure if people are aware of the decibel range of certain. I've got a
so you've got some information,
yeah,
for
I've got
us.
Some information on decibel levels.
Okay, give us some info.
So lawnmower, 90 decibels on average, yeah, safe for 2 hours.
Okay.
So traffic 85, chainsaws 110, 50, so that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's not too bad. Speech is between 60 and 65 decibels.
Yeah.
What I found really useful is I downloaded an app on my phone that actually, because I have a hearing loss, I know what that feels like. And if there is, if we do go to somewhere that's relatively noisy, then on this app on my phone, it measures the decibel level of the environment around me.
Yeah.
And then that tells me whether it's safe for me to be there or I should only be there for 10 minutes or an hour or and then leave.
Oh, that's really interesting then. So you can get digital help.
You can.
With signalling what's kind of a not a good... good decibel level.
Yes, that's right.
And hearing loss is more than just the anatomical issue, isn't it? I've got family members who've got hearing aids and they say without them, they are missing a massive part of life. They'll miss conversations or they really have to strain to hear. And in doing that, you kind of, you find yourself dropping out of life a little bit because you can't engage because you've not heard properly. You know, sometimes you may... say the wrong thing because you've heard the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And it's such an issue, isn't it? A holistic issue.
It's huge. People who develop hearing loss, irrespective of age, because it can affect anybody at any time in their life.
Yeah.
And this is about protecting what you have, which is why I'm very conscious of protecting what I've got left.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. So we'll stop for a minute. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, holistic.
The holistic impact. Yeah. The social impact is vast.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. As far as speech is concerned, one of the things that you do lose, majority of people, if I go back to the cochlear, a majority of people, certainly in age-related or noise-induced hearing loss, it's the high frequencies that tend to drop off first.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people lose their low frequencies.
Right.
But the problem with losing the high frequencies is you lose speech discrimination.
Okay.
With the high frequency loss. Because to make sense of speech, we need to be able to hear the consonant sounds of words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The vowels are not quite so important. And unfortunately... the consonant sounds tend to be in the higher frequency band of the spectrum.
Oh, interesting.
So you do get what is called consonant confusion.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and you're mishearing, misinterpreting.
You mishear certain things. If you say p, d, m, f, th, they all sound the same.
Yeah.
So you could end up asking somebody a question and they will give you completely the wrong answer. If you have the ability to laugh at yourself, it can be fun.
Yeah.
But it also has a serious side.
Yeah, it's a confidence stealer. It you know, you won't enter into the social world feeling confident.
You withdraw socially.
Yeah.
And eventually you sort of, your home becomes almost a prison to you because you're fearful of going out in case you make a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
Someone might say something, you won't hear it right, and then that concern can lead to mental health issues and depression and anxiety. So to prevent a lot of those conditions, people will just withdraw and say, no, I'm all right, I'll just stay home tonight. Thank you, though, for asking.
Yeah.
So please... although people will say no, and they may continually say no, please don't stop asking, because that's very important as well, to try and keep people involved in social activities, whether they're going to manage or not. But if you're aware of the situation, then there's a lot you can do for that person to help them.
Yes, as you've said. So I find that... It's funny, isn't it? When you're young, you know, you've got the stereo blaring in your car, you've got your music in your house, full volume. And I remember when I was younger, hearing my parents go, that restaurant was lovely, but it was so noisy.
Yes.
And as you get older, you can really appreciate the fact that it's not as likeable when you're somewhere, you know, nowadays, let's say eating out, the decor is very, very echoey. It's all very minimal, or steel or wood.
Yes.
So you, sometimes you can't hear yourself think over the noise of all the other people.
That's right.
So as you've said, people can help this, can't you? You just make sure that, you know, you go somewhere that's a quieter place.
Yes, yes. I mean, there are places. I mean, the thing with restaurants, pubs, etc., etc., is they will have hard surfaces. They minimise on the soft furnishings. And the thing with soft furnishings, though, is that actually does absorb some of that environmental noise, so enables people to have nice conversations instead of shouting at each other across the table.
And trying to hear,
yes. Because, and the other thing is, in those sorts of environments, you're going to have the impact of that is when you leave, you will, for a while, you will still hear that noise, that sound. It will still be in your head or in your ears, and that can take time to dissipate.
Isn't that amazing? So, I found that if I go, let's say, to a dance club, or in my youth, a club, the next, or that evening and the next day, you will have that ringing of the bass.
That's it.
And so there's some damage done.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Okay.
Providing you give yourself your ears time to recover, the damage is less likely to be permanent.
Okay.
But like I said earlier, going back into those environments, like musicians, for argument's sake, going back into those environments night after night after night without protecting your hearing, they will at some point later in life pay the consequences for that.
Which is
a shame, but That is, if you love what you do, then sometimes it just doesn't matter how you achieve it.
Yes.
You know.
So. Now, I've got tickets to the Isle of Wight Festival, and Archie's going to come. Would you recommend that I get him some ear defenders, seeing that he's probably got the full complement of hairs in his in his canal?
Absolutely, yes.
And would you say that for older people as well, potentially? My dad's coming, he's 82. Or do you think we should not worry about ear defenders for him?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Because if he has hearing loss already, I mean, if I go back, hearing loss, every single person on the planet has a level of hearing loss. There's no getting away from that. Because we start losing our very high frequencies anywhere between the age of 15 and 17. So babies, young children, always protect their hearing when you're in those sorts of environments, because you don't know what damage they could be being exposed to, and that can cause. Older people, yes, always protect what you've got.
Yeah, look after
it. Look after what you've got.
Yeah.
It might only be a small amount of hearing, but if you still can hear the television at a reasonable volume, you can hear your front doorbell, the phone ring, things like that, for goodness sake, protect it.
Look after it,
yes.
What would you say then to the people at home who've got their TV on 100? Is that time for them to think, do you know, this is pretty loud? Because 100 is pretty loud. They should be looking for some additional help from some devices?
I would say yes. But the first thing to do, I mean, what tends to happen is before you realise yourself you've got a hearing loss, other people will realise it and start telling you.
Yeah.
And then the likelihood is you're going to say, there's nothing wrong with my hearing. This is a normal reaction. This is what I hear day in, day out in through the course of my job. Which is really interesting, but at the same time, it's postponing the inevitable, if you like.
Yes.
You know, if somebody is starting to say to you, goodness sake, mum, dad, granny, granddad, whoever, that television is really up loud.
Yeah.
And please just take that on board and go and see your doctor. A lot of the surgeries, the GP surgeries, can offer hearing tests or hearing checks just to find out what's happening with your ears. And if there is a concern, they can then refer you to the audiology department at St Mary's, where they will carry out a full hearing assessment and talk to you about any problems they may have found with that. And believe me, once you have hearing aids, it does take a while to get used to them. And yes, some people do find them intrusive, obvious, not want to wear them. This again is quite a normal reaction for a lot of people.
Yeah, and there's a stigma, isn't there?
There's a stigma attached to it, and it's such a it's such a shame, because once you've got hearing aids, it opens up a world that you've forgotten.
Yes, exactly. And my she won't mind me saying this, but my mum has recently entered the world of wearing hearing aids, and she says when she doesn't wear them, Archie's not half as loud. No, she says, she feels back in the world.
Absolutely.
She can re-enter conversations confidently rather than just think, what was that? I can't quite hear it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So that they can make a huge, huge difference to your confidence, your mental health, all of those sorts of things. Hearing aids are, I mean, I find them invaluable, but that's me.
Yeah.
You know, without them, you'd just be lost. A lot of people would just be lost without them.
Yeah. There's also a link, isn't there? I've read about, people not, losing their hearing, not then using hearing aids. And there's a bit of a link with those parts in the brain, those cells or those neurons, those pathways diminishing.
Yes.
And it's such a simple thing to rectify, isn't it?
It is.
And to reconcile and go, do you know what? I'm going to accept I'm wearing a hearing aid, but it won't be as detrimental to my brain.
That is absolutely true. The recommendation is, because, dementia is a big thing now, isn't it? And quite rightly so. And the recommendation is that if somebody is, irrespective of age, if somebody is diagnosed with dementia, then they should have a hearing test,
okay,
a full hearing test. And the reason for that is the thinking behind it, and there is some research going on that sort of backs this up. The reasoning behind it is that having hearing aids does actually help the cognitive ability.
Yeah.
Because it makes your brain work. It has to do that extra bit of processing. So if you're hearing proper sounds and real conversation, then your brain will work as normally as it can for longer.
Yes.
That is the thinking behind it.
Yeah.
And like I say, there is a lot of research going on around that. So yes, it does. Research is suggesting that it does slow cognitive decline.
God, there's more and more research coming out, isn't there?
There
and
is.
Isn't it funny where the world isn't as holistically linked? You know, a doctor will see you about your eyes or your toe, and nowadays it's now going, actually the brain is linked to the hearing and dementia and, you
all
know,
sorts of things, yeah, Tess.
Yes.
Yeah, there is an interlink between lots of things. And this is this is what is being found out by medical research, really, which is why, I mean, I expect people have seen the advert, the Heart Foundation advert, that now links dementia and diabetes and all of those sorts of things. So there is a huge realisation that there is an interlink between lots of different things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paula, it's such a pleasure to have you here to talk about hearing. It's such an integral part of who we are and what forms our character and our confidence.
Yeah.
Let's talk about inoculations and childhood hearing and all of that then.
Okay. There are certain childhood illnesses that can cause hearing loss, which is why it's very, very important that you immunise your child. Primarily, you've got mumps, measles and rubella.
Yeah.
Those are the three most serious. Measles, if your child gets measles, then even brain damage can't be ruled out.
Oh,
with measles.
Yeah.
Equally, chicken pox can be a concern,
right?
Because the blisters can come up in the ear canal.
Ooh, yeah.
And if that doesn't heal properly, then you can end up with infections and things like that.
Yeah.
The other thing that affects children as far as illness is concerned is what it's called glue ear.
Yes, yeah.
Glue ear is quite common in young children, primary age children usually. And to give it its proper name, it is otitis media with effusion.
Right.
And what happens is the airspace behind the eardrum, you've got a little tube that runs down to the throat called the Eustachian tube. And in that airspace, it gets a little bit bunged up with gunk and can cause infections and things like that. And that's primarily what glue ear is.
Yeah.
Often it rights itself. Sometimes, depending on the person or the child concerned, they can aid glue ear, as in give hearing aids to children with glue ear. It has been shown to be successful in some children, but obviously that might not work for all. Other illnesses is cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer is a big one for hearing. Not so much for the cancer itself. There is obviously a form of cancer that does affect the ears and hearing. But I was thinking more of the treatments for cancer. If we go on to some medications that can cause problems with hearing, and chemotherapy drugs are one of the biggest causes. They are very what's regarded as ototoxic, which means a side effect of chemotherapy drugs can be hearing loss. I mean, significant hearing loss.
Now, you don't hear that much, do you?
No.
Because chemotherapy, that is, it's injecting chemicals and toxicity.
Yes.
So you're going to damage your body, but yeah, the hearing element.
It does seem to react badly with your hearing.
Yeah.
However, I'm not suggesting anyone doesn't do it.
Yeah.
What I'm suggesting is be aware of all the side effects that some medications can have. Other medications include NSAIDs, non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs, like ibuprofen.
Really? How?
One of the side effects to ibuprofen can be hearing loss.
Really?
Really. So what I'm and some antibiotics.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you take any over-the-counter medications or prescribed medications, please read the leaflet.
Yeah.
We know our doctors are doing the best for us, and I commend them for that. But equally, we can help ourselves by looking at those side effects, deciding what we want to do with that, or going discussing that with a health professional, whether that is a pharmacist or a nurse or again your doctor, and actually express your concerns about that. But I'm not saying don't take the medication,
but just be mindful
of the risk factors behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to see somebody quite a long time ago now who was very poorly in intensive care, and they had to give a very toxic antibiotic to save his life.
Yeah.
And great, but the consequence of that was hearing loss. They did, of course they did the right thing. Yeah. I mean, who wants to die? Nobody wants to die.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I'm sure he's grateful that he's still alive, yeah, albeit with hearing loss. I know I would rather take the drugs and lose my hearing, yeah, than die. But yes, it can be.
So just about being informed.
It
and
is.
Researching what you're given.
Yes.
Yes.
But I wouldn't go looking too deeply into some of it, because you could end up scaring yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there are, on some drugs, there are just reams and reams of advisories, aren't there?
There is. And albeit these risks are real, you've got to put it in context.
Yeah.
And how many people are affected by that particular risk.
Yes. Yeah.
As long as you put it in context, just read the leaflets, really.
Yeah. Okay, what would you like to talk about next?
Concerns. If you are worried about your ears or your ear health, then what I would suggest is go and see either a practice nurse, your doctor, even talk it over with the pharmacist if that makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Talk it over with a close friend or somebody who might be able to advise you about that. But seek help as soon as possible.
Before it gets any
before
worse.
Before it gets too bad, yes.
And I'd say also, don't feel ashamed, because sometimes, you know, people will feel very ashamed that they can't hear things and their confidence is knocked. But ultimately, if you get help now and you get a hearing aid now, things will look so much brighter and sound so much brighter.
Absolutely. It's invaluable, really. I mean, there is a lot of support that we as an organisation can offer, the audiology department can offer. There is a lot of help out there.
Yeah. So seek help.
Seek help as soon as possible. Yeah.
Would you like to talk about tinnitus? Now, I call it tinnitus. Is that wrong?
No, it isn't. it is individual, really.
Yeah.
In America, it's often called tinnitus.
Oh my gosh, I've Americanized myself. Aluminum.
Yeah, it's more common to be called that in America than it is almost anywhere else. But tinnitus. I will give a bit of a plug. It's Tinnitus Awareness Week, the first week of February.
Yeah.
And I am also the tinnitus specialist at our service. And I will be doing some advice and information sessions at Newport Library, at Sandown Library, at Freshwater Library, and at Ryde Library.
Yeah.
That week.
Okay. How do people get more information about timings and specific
dates? They can call our office number, which is 01983 529533, and they can get all of that information there. Tinnitus can come in several forms. It is described that the word tinnitus comes from the Latin, which actually means ringing in the ears, which is why it's often called ringing in the ears.
Yeah.
And but it can come in lots of other guises as well.
Yeah.
There are three main types. Tinnitus, and tinnitus can often be in the head rather than the ears. It feels like and sounds like it's in the ears, but it can be somewhere else in the head.
Really? So it's kind of a neurological pathway?
It can be. It certainly can be, yes. You've got pulsatile tinnitus, which is where most people will have heard this at some point in their lives. It's if you lay down at night, for argument's sake, and you can hear your heartbeat in your ear. A lot of people can sort of relate to that. They may have heard that at some point in their life.
Yeah.
That's what pulsatile tinnitus sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. The it's in line with your heartbeat.
So you really can hear your heartbeat. Yeah.
Yes, but it's all the time, not just periodically. Because if you're just putting your head down and you hear it in your ear, if you put your head up, it will disappear. Okay. Well, with somebody with pulsatile tinnitus, that doesn't happen.
It's fascinating what the brain does and can do.
It's very clever, the brain. Yeah. Very clever.
How we can switch off from those sounds in our body.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And you can that, again, there is help out there for tinnitus as well. Audiology at St Mary's, they have two people up there that are trained tinnitus specialists. So your doctor can refer you, and I'm sure they would be able to give you some invaluable support up there. I'm available, again, at the end of the phone. If anybody wants to talk to me about tinnitus, I can give as much information and support as I can around it. I can also come and see you at home, discuss those issues if you feel more comfortable doing that. Primarily, my role is hearing loss, but I do go and see people whose only issue is tinnitus.
So you've got two other types of tinnitus as well?
Yes, you've got what are called musical hallucinations.
Oh, I've had that. Where you can hear a symphony in your head.
You can.
And for the moment I had it, I enjoyed it, but I've heard stories where people have it the whole time.
They do.
And that would be very disturbing.
It can be very disturbing, yes. And it can range. I mean, we all suffer from time to time with what is called earworms. When that music you've just heard is playing over and over and over and over. But eventually it stops. With somebody with musical tinnitus or musical hallucinations, that it just doesn't stop. It is continuous and it will often play the same thing over and over and over. And you can imagine how distressing... That can be, especially at night time when you're trying to get some.
When I've heard mine does sound like a symphony. So where does that come from? That's obviously a feedback issue within the brain.
Possibly. Nobody knows.
So it's one of those enigmas, isn't it?
It is an enigma. Tinnitus itself is an enigma.
Yeah.
Because you can never really pinpoint at 100% put your finger on and say, right, that's it, that's what caused it, because 9 times out of 10 it's just unknown. Nobody really knows unless you have had or do contract an illness like Meniere's disease or labyrinthitis or something like that, where tinnitus is a known symptom.
Right.
So, it is. It's fascinating, actually.
It really
is. Absolutely fascinating.
The bundle of neurons in your brain and what they can produce and why and create and their reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is just intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, what's the third type of tinnitus?
Well, you've got objective, subjective. Objective is about the normal everyday sort of sounds, and subjective it often comes and goes.
Right.
It's not always there all the time. It can also affect one ear, but can be unilateral or bilateral. So it's
I've had some unilateral tinnitus. Then
I've got bilateral. So.
Oh gosh, so stereo or mono?
Yeah.
And why is that? Once again, it's that feedback loop, and we're not sure why. It's
nobody knows.
Various pathways just firing off.
That nobody really knows.
Gosh.
There has been so much research into it. Tinnitus has been a condition since 630 AD.
Wow. So it's that complex, and it hasn't been cracked.
Not really, no. No, it was identified a long, 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 long time ago by a you wouldn't actually call them physicians then, yeah. But soothsayer or whatever you would like to call them, who noticed that in the days of Pythagoras, etc.
Yes.
There was a particular scientist. He noticed with his own tinnitus. He didn't know didn't have its name then.
Yeah. So he knew something was happening.
He knew something was happening in his head, and what he found was at lunch times he would go and sit by the fountain in the courtyard and his tinnitus would disappear.
Is that because he's concentrating on something else, maybe, or the sound?
No, it's the sound masking. It's sound therapy.
Oh, and like the sound aversion.
The sound of the waterfall was at the same frequency as his tinnitus. And therefore masked it, so he couldn't hear it any longer.
So you got a bit of relief.
So you get a bit of relief, yes. Wow. So sound therapy can be very useful,
yes.
As can hearing aids. So if you have a hearing loss and then develop tinnitus, I would suggest you get hearing aids as soon as possible, because they do make a difference for a majority of people.
Gosh, this is fascinating.
Yes, it's...
You scratch the surface and then you're in, you know, it's not just about the ear, it's about your whole brain.
But, yeah.
All those pathways.
Yes, it can. It can impact in lots of different ways, yeah, yeah. We are the sensory service. We are contracted by the Isle of Wight Council to deliver sensory services, as in, by that I mean sight and hearing loss or a combination of both. We are contactable on Riverway Industrial Estate, which again is, the number is 01983 529533. So if you have any problems or want any information or advice around sight or hearing, then please do get in touch with us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Paula. It's been a real pleasure to talk
about. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Older and Wiser with Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Go to agefriendlyireland.org or give them a call on 01983 525 282. Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.